Well, to begin this morning, I'm going to share a short video clip. It's one that's quite special to Doris and I, and it's our friend Dorothy Jones is a friend of many of you as well. And just to give you a little bit of a background, Dorothy is, her and her husband began attending LCF about 13 years ago. When their son Jim, who has attended here for quite some time, he moved them into a condo in London. And Vernon is you'll see a picture of him later, I'll show it later, but he's a retired Lutheran pastor. And I actually still use some of his commentaries that Vernon gave to me some years ago when I'm studying for messages. He passed away in April of 2008. And since then, Dorothy has lived as a widow in the condo, first of all, and then more recently, she is at Bluebird Retirement Home. So, anyways, recently, Doris and I were visiting with her, and I shared a joke with her, and she liked it. I only have a couple jokes that I can remember, so all of you probably heard. You probably heard this one, I don't know. But anyways, she really liked the joke, so she wanted to learn the joke. So anyways, this is a little clip of her learning this joke. Now, you'll have to excuse, I didn't edit it, so Doris and I are really loud. So listen carefully to Dorothy. Anyways, just to give you an idea of our interaction with Dorothy, that's typically how it goes when we go to see Dorothy. She's a special person. If you want to put up a picture of her husband, Vernon and her, we have a couple pictures of them. There we are. Yeah, that's... would have been Dorothy and Vernon, it's probably soon after they moved into the London area. And then this one on the right is a more later picture of, more recent picture of Dorothy. But Dorothy is special. And this morning I want to tell you why. She has been one of the, I would say, spunkiest people that I know. Positive attitude, strong faith, following Jesus, all of those things describe Dorothy. And my visits with Dorothy over the years have been some of the most encouraging times for me. Times filled with laughter and joy are some of the things that I recall. And there have been some heated discussions as well. Like I said, she's a feisty person, and sometimes when I preached some things that she didn't quite agree with, she wasn't afraid to tell me that. And we would have some lengthy discussions about how to interpret Scripture. I could go into detail this morning about how special Dorothy is to Doris and I, but there's a more important reason why Dorothy is special. And I want to jump back to a verse in James chapter 1 that I kind of skipped over when I'm preaching through James, and it's been in my mind ever since then, and I was like, sometime I'm going to go back and preach that verse. So this is the morning we're going to look at it. Verse 27 of chapter 1, James chapter 1. It says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Well, not only is Dorothy special, but all widows and orphans are special. I don't know how often you think about that or think about this scripture. I did a quick check and counted over a dozen scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that refer to how God cares for the widows and orphans and how He desires us to care for them as well. Some of those scriptures I have listed here on the next slide. Psalm 146, verse 9 says, "The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin." Isaiah 1:17, "Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause." And Psalm 68:5, speaking of God, who is the Father of the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in His holy habitation. So for this morning, my sermon title that I've chose, I don't know if you identify with it, but the idea that where is God, but where God is, thinking about where God is. This is one of the places where God is. His holy habitation. This is one of the places where you will find Him, with the widows and the orphans. So you might ask, well, why widows and orphans? It's not that God shows favoritism. There's several scriptures that we know, Romans 2:11, Acts 10:34. We could look at other places. It's very clear that God doesn't show favoritism. In fact, it's just the opposite. God cares for the people that no one else cares for in some way. The poor, the oppressed, the sick, the helpless, the refugee, the foreigner, the prisoner, the outcast, the orphan, and the widow. And so the widow and the orphan represent all those people in our society that God cares about, that are helpless. This is where God is. He cares deeply for those who cannot care for themselves. You can't miss it when you look at the life of Christ, where he spent His time and who He spent His time with. It is with these people. This is where God is. So this morning, if you love God, if you believe in God, if you are a follower of Jesus, then this is where you will be too. Back to James 1:27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction." And you might say, well, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? And it seems like such a strong statement. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. You might think that visiting or caring for the orphans and widows and people like them is somewhat insignificant. Somehow doesn't really matter a whole lot. Maybe is worth, if we have some extra time, some extra resources, some extra energy. But I think that's precisely why it is significant to God. God cares about those people that seemingly maybe no one else does at times. These unselfish acts of service towards those who can give us nothing in return reflect a pure and undefiled devotion to God. That's where they come from. They don't come from any other place. They reflect the heart of God. And I think it's in these small, seemingly insignificant times where the substance of our faith is most noticeable. That's where it's most honest and real, pure and undefiled. And I say unnoticed for a reason, because I believe as soon as we bring attention to it, it in some ways becomes defiled and impure. I think these things need to be done in secret, hidden in many ways from the eyes of others, in order for them to remain pure and undefiled. And Jesus really talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. James is always bringing us back to the honest truth, isn't he? We've gone through the book of James. He says, you say you're religious, then control your tongue. He says, you say you know the word of God, then do what it says. He says, you believe in Jesus? Then don't show partiality or bias. He says, you say that you're wise in the Lord? Then don't quarrel and fight. You say you've got religion? Then care for the widows and the orphans, the marginalized, the forgotten, the lonely, the sick, the helpless, the hopeless. Why? Because God cares for them. God cares for them. That's where God is. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and confused about what God wants me to do. I don't know if that happens for the rest of you. Some days it looks like, what do I do? What does God want me to do? How in the world can I accomplish this tremendous task that's in front of me? I get distracted by many things. But every so often, God simplifies my life and He brings me back to simple things. And I feel like that's where I've been recently. He's been bringing me back to simple things. In the last couple of weeks in particular, this scripture of the greatest commandment has been on my heart. And I'll read one instance of it here in Mark chapter 12. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now in my mind, that kind of simplifies things. It kind of boils things down for me. Of all the activity, the things that I could be doing, where I could be spending my time and why I'm spending it there, comes down to really these simple ideas right here in these scriptures. These simple ideas. There was a lawyer who challenged, well, he didn't challenge Jesus, but he was asking a question about this commandment. And he said, who is my neighbor? You're probably familiar with that story. What was he really asking? Who is my neighbor? Well, I believe what he was asking is, how do I get this thing checked off my list so that I know I'm covered? What are the minimum requirements so that I know that I've got that thing done and I don't need to worry about it anymore? Do I need to give some money to the poor? Or volunteer a little here and there, promote some cause. What is it that I need to do so that I can get that done? And you know Jesus' response to him, don't you? He gave that story, we call it the Good Samaritan story. I'm not going to read it this morning. Where the traveler was traveling on the road and he was robbed and beaten and stripped and left for dead. beside the road. And of course, you have the righteous priest and the Levite who come by, and they pass by on the other side of the road. As soon as they see this man, they get on the other side of the road and they keep on going. And then we have the Samaritan. And we know that the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. But this Samaritan saw this beaten, stripped man lying beside the road, and he had compassion, is what Scripture says. He had compassion on him. And his compassion compelled him to stop, to not cross over to the other side, but to go to the man, who was probably a Jew, likely, his own enemy in some ways. He bound up his wounds. Scripture says, set him on his animal, took him to an inn, and took care of him. And then he gave the innkeeper some money for his long-term care. The Samaritan, out of compassion, he risked many things. He sacrificed things. He gave up things. He had compassion on this man lying beside the road. Our love for God will result in love for others. That's the way it works. Our love for God will result in love for others. You will go where He is. You will do what He does. And when you go where He is and do what He does, you will see what He sees, and you will see Him. You will see God in a new way in those places, because that's where He is. Some things you will not learn from book study or even in church, but only by being with Him in those places where He is. Love for God will result in compassion. It will result in us taking risk. Compassion will compel us to take risks. Compassion will compel us to sacrifice, to be generous. Compassion will compel us to be unbiased and to love unconditionally. And so, when we look at this verse, it's a very simple scripture that James shares with us here. And I'm a simple person. And so, when I look at it, I think he's really asking in a lot of ways, is your religion real? Is your religion real? Does it have substance? Is there something behind it? Or is it just a thing you do, you go through? Maybe you're like the lawyer, you're just kind of wanting to check those things, make sure those boxes are checked so that you're somehow covered. Is your religion real? I'm not asking you to evaluate anyone else's. I'm asking you to look at yourself. You really only know what is going on in your own heart. Is my religion real? 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Is that true for you? Who are the widows and orphans in your life? I don't know. Who is the sojourner, the foreigner, the rejected, the sidelined, the criticized, the helpless? In reality, I feel like all of us are in those places in one way or another. In fact, Doris said before I came up here this morning, she said, maybe the reason you're feeling so weak this morning is because God wants you to identify with this message. In our weakness, we need the Lord through other people. And other people around us need him too. They need his touch through you, through me. Who are those people? Do you love them like God loves them? If you know him, you will love them. And if you love them, you will know him. I believe that's the way it works. It's where he is. It's in these hidden secret times where your religion is the most pure and simple. Where you can see for real, where I can see for real, what my motivations are, why I do what I do, and what is really important in life. I have often wondered about that passage where Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. It's been a confusing passage for me sometimes in thinking about it. In Matthew 25, he talks about there'll be this division of the sheep and the goats. And I understand that, I think, where Jesus comes and there's going to be a division, and some will be taken to heaven and some will be condemned. Of course, the sheep representing those will be taken with Jesus. But the confusing thing about that passage for me has been what Jesus talks about, what his focus is, his primary distinction between the sheep and the goats. And if you remember what that distinction is, he talks about the sheep being those people. And he places himself in this position. He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick or in prison, you visited me. And of course, the question comes, well, Lord, we haven't done any of those things to you. And Jesus says, well, as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it directly unto me. Now, he's not talking about works salvation here. That if you check these things off your list, that somehow you're saved. No, it's not what he's talking about. He's describing God followers. Those who follow God. This is what they do. This is who they are. This is what they look like. They adopt the heart of God instead of being self-centered. They are God-centered and others-centered. And yes, this is a difficult thing, as simple as it is difficult. It only happens by knowing God. It only happens through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, as we know God, as we draw near to Him, as we understand His heart, and as we adopt His heart for people, as He changes us. As much as you have done it to the least of these, Jesus said, you have done it unto me. So, I want to wrap up this morning. What are our takeaways from this simple verse in James? And yes, I spread out into several passages to get an idea of what he's talking about here. The first thing I think is just simply that God cares about the widows and the orphans, and all who are helpless, oppressed, lonely, destitute, sick, in prison, and you could go down the line. God cares. He cares about those people. He cares about you. Maybe you feel like one of those people this morning. He cares about you. He loves you. He's unbiased in his love. His love is unconditional. He cares. Don't ever let anybody convince you otherwise that he doesn't care. And we should care too. If we love God, we will love people as well. We will have compassion. And maybe this morning, I don't know, maybe you're feeling like your compassion tank is a little empty, a little low. Probably all that means is you need God to fill it up. It comes from Him. You need to draw near to Him. You need to seek Him with all your heart. You need to delight yourself in Him alone. There's nothing else that can satisfy you or anyone else in this world. There's nothing you can give to anyone else that's greater than the love of God. And so go to Him and get refilled if you're feeling low this morning. And lastly, we need to love others. The more you love others, the more you will know God and meet Him. It's where He is. Love each of them, each of those that God brings your way, without bias, without strings, unconditionally. And that doesn't mean we don't discern how to do that. We do. We need great wisdom to know how to do that. In fact, a passage I didn't mention in the New Testament where they talk about caring for widows, there are some conditions about who those widows are, and ones that are already provided for, ones that can provide for themselves. So there's a lot of discernment that happens as we care for people. It's not a reckless command that's given to us. But I think sometimes we're probably too cautious and too careful. Love others unconditionally with no expectations of what you might get out of it. You know, I've often thought, as a pastor, the job of caring for the people in the church is primarily my job. Maybe you have thought the same, I don't know. But I'm weak. And I'm just a human like anybody else. There's no way that I can care for all of you. I can connect with some of you. I know some things that are going on in your lives, but I don't in any way know all the things that are going on with you, with all of you, all the needs that you have, your own struggles. And I was never meant to meet all those needs. That's not the way the body of Christ is designed. We are all in this together. Not any one of us can meet everyone's needs. We were never intended to, but we can care for some. And if we all care for some, I believe we'll all be covered in this body. And not only here, but in our communities, the places in our families, those people that we interact with. We are all, in a sense, on the benevolence team. And by the way, we only have one official member of the benevolence team right now, so if you're interested in helping, I'm sure Sandy would appreciate some help on that team. But we, in a sense, are all on the benevolence team. We are all on the congregational care team, or whatever team you might want to call that cares for people. And it could be the most important opportunities you have to serve the Lord by hosting strangers or taking meals or helping someone move or writing a note or visiting or maybe even giving of your funds that the Lord has given you. I think that's probably the easiest one, is to simply give money. Those small secret acts of compassion. It could be that some of the most important people to God right now are people like Dorothy Jones. I don't know. Scripture seems to say that she's pretty important. She is to God. People like Benny Bozeman, who's been in the hospital for about a week now after surgery. in a lot of pain, recovery. Or maybe people like Alan and Betsy Patterson. Betsy is in the final stages of pancreatic cancer. You could tell us of others that you know. Like I said, I only know a small portion of what's going on with you and even with those people in our community. And so, may we take the encouragement that James gives us here, and may we love others. The more you love God, I'll say it again, the more you will love others. The more you love others, the more you will know God and meet Him, because that's where He is.